We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello there. I'm Chris Fluitt, lead pastor of Redemption Church. And if you're watching this podcast, you're probably saying, wait a second, what's going on? This is really different. Well, sometimes the first 5 minutes of your sermon doesn't get recorded. You know, tech problems happen sometimes. And I felt we're kicking off a new sermon series called Revelation Revealed. And I felt like it was so important that I needed to re-record that. So I'm doing that right now. And we'll be jumping back to the actual footage of Sunday sermon in just a moment. This sermon's really different. This sermon series, I should say, is very different. We are reading through the book of Revelation actually in service. In service, we read the first five chapters of Revelation. We encourage you to read through them with us. Also, we are answering questions. If you have questions on the first five chapters of Revelations, people texted in their question. That number is 214-856-0550. You text in your question, and we'll do our best to answer it. We don't know all the answers, but we'll gladly tell you that we don't, or help you come up with something. All right? So here's what I want you to know. Don't be afraid of the book of Revelation. I was told growing up that, Chris Fluitt, you should read the Bible. You should read all of it and take it to heart, except for the book of Revelation. You'll go crazy if you read that book. Stay away from the book of Revelation. Well, Revelation 1:3 tells us this: blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Not scared are the ones that read it, but blessed. And we just took that literally, and that's why we're reading through the entire book of Revelation. Blessed are those that read it, blessed are those that hear it and take it to heart. It is the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. And I catch myself all the time accidentally calling it Revelations. I just said it just a few moments ago. But it's the book of Revelation, singular. So what is the revelation? Most people miss the revelation. They spend so much time asking, when is the rapture? Who is the false prophet? Who is the Antichrist? What is the mark of the beast? What's up with the trump of God, all the trumps and the bowls and the seals? You could understand end time prophecy and still miss the revelation. So what is the revelation? Well, it tells us in chapter 1, verse 1. Imagine that. It says this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. The revelation is Jesus. Not just end time prophecy, but a picture of Jesus. The book is not just about what is going to take place, but it is a picture, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment talking about who receives this prophetic vision and gives it to us. It's John the Revelator. Revelations 1 and 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, people often get confused with John in the Bible. You got Saint John and you've got John the Baptist. Let's clear this up. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord. He baptized Jesus. He wore camel skin. He ate locust fruit from the locust tree. Not locust, the bug. We don't think he actually ate bugs. He actually ate locust fruit. Anyway, that's a thing. All right. John the Baptist wrote no books of the New Testament. All right. He lost his head in prison. So that's John the Baptist. Saint John was one of the 12 disciples. He had a brother named James. They were called the sons of Zebedee. Jesus gave them nicknames. How cool would it be for Jesus to give you a nickname? The sons of Zebedee means sons of thunder. So they even had a very cool nickname. I would even take a nerdy nickname from the Lord. God, give me a nerdy nickname. I would love a nickname from Jesus. That would be very awesome. He wrote the Gospel of John, so there's one. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. All right, those are epistles, they're letters, so there's four books he wrote. And then he wrote Revelation. John is known as the disciple closest to Jesus. John writes of himself, and when he writes of himself, he refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. We'll see some examples of that in a little bit. Although Jesus had 12 disciples, Jesus had an inner circle of three. He had Peter, James, and John, and only these three were present at the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah shows up. Only these three were invited to go deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane and watch and pray with Jesus. He was in this inner circle, John was. John was well acquainted with Jesus. If they lined up Jesus with some other guys and there was a lineup to, you know, pick out Jesus, John could do it laughingly easy. He could tell you intimate details of Jesus' life. It was John who told us in the beginning was the Word. That's found in John 1:1. It is John who tells us that the world cannot contain all the stories of Jesus. Wow, that's quite a revelation right there. That's in John 21:25. It is John who appears at the crucifixion. I've got to take some time on this. John appears at the crucifixion, and we don't have record of any other disciple appearing at the crucifixion. They were probably there, but they were probably hiding and afraid for their life. But John appears at the crucifixion. In fact, he appears so prominently that Jesus is able to speak to him from the cross. Some of Jesus' last words were to John, the Revelator. Only disciple there, the only disciple that Jesus talks to from the cross. It's really an amazing thing. And John stood right by Mary, the mother of Jesus, as Jesus is dying on the cross. And we read about it in John 19:26. Jesus speaks to his mom first. He says, "Dear woman, here is your son," referring to John. How close is John to Jesus? Well, they aren't blood relatives, but he's saying, from now on, Mary, my mom, I want you to think of John as your son. And verse 27, and to the disciple, he says, to John, he says, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. How close are Jesus and John? Some of Jesus' last words, his dying words, were, "John, take care of my mom." That's amazing. It is John who is the first to the tomb. The women were there first, but they come back and they say, "Hey, something's up." And it is Peter and John who start running. They run to the tomb. And in John 20:4, it tells us that John outran Peter. He got there first. It is John who recognizes Jesus when he first appears on the seashore in John 21:4-7. Now get this, Jesus appears, but no one recognizes him. The disciples talk to him. They look right at him. None of them recognize him until it is John who says, "It is the Lord." And then they're all like, "Whoa, it sure is." And Peter jumps off the boat and runs to the seashore. It's an amazing moment, but it's John who recognizes him first. It is John who was arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus. It is John who was boiled in oil as a execution, but he didn't die. Imagine being boiled in oil. That's a terrible thought. He was boiled in oil for Jesus, never recounted his faith, and he didn't die. So now they've got this guy just boiled in oil, but he didn't die. What do we do with him? They send him to a prison island called Patmos. It's an island filled with criminals. And he's banished to this island. And we read a little bit about that in Revelation 1:9. It is on this island that John receives the revelation. Now we're going to join our original sermon from Sunday, where we're continuing to talk about the revelation.
Let's read about that revelation again. Revelations 1 and beginning at 13. This is an amazing description of the revelation. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Son of man is a reference point of Jesus Christ. It's a descript. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. Revelation 1:14, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. Verse 15, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Verse 16, in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. John was well acquainted with Jesus. John recognizes Jesus. John knows more stories than he can write about Jesus. John takes care of Jesus' mom. John is well acquainted with Jesus. He's seen Jesus before, but what does he do when he sees Jesus? Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. That's a strange reaction, isn't it, for someone that you know very well, for someone that you're well acquainted with? Has anyone else had that reaction to anyone? I haven't. I've been really surprised. My really good friend right here, her name's Peggy. Everyone say, hi, Peggy. We went to high school together. We haven't seen each other in like, since 98. It's a long time. And I saw her and I was really happy to see her today. But neither of us fell dead when we saw each other. Right? We don't just fall dead very often. And that's a good thing. I recommend it. All right. It's a strange reaction. Would you agree that it is not a ho-hum response?
Yes.
When he sees Jesus, he falls as dead. Can I tell you that a revelation of Jesus changes everything? Look at somebody and say, a revelation of Jesus changes everything. Look at him, tell him right now. Think you know Jesus? I would tell you to think again and look again. Religion makes two big mistakes when it comes to a revelation of Jesus. This is our biggest mistakes. Here they are. Number one, we give a wrong picture of Jesus. I've been in churches where they told us that Jesus was going to get us, that he was watching and waiting for us to mess up. That is a wrong revelation of Jesus. Churches make a big mistake of giving a wrong picture of Jesus. There are people in this world that churches have taken picket signs and thrown hate at them in the name of Jesus. That is a wrong picture of Jesus. That is a huge mistake the church makes, giving a wrong picture of Jesus. Number two, when offered a glimpse of Jesus, we say, yeah, I already knew that. Oh, the church is so guilty of this. The church is so guilty of this. Trying to share Jesus with someone that thinks they already know everything there is to know about him. The church is very guilty of that. Think you know Jesus? I want to tell you to think again and look again. Because the revelation of Jesus changes everything. I'm tired of Christians having a ho-hum response to Jesus Christ. Can we just end that here at Redemption Church? Can we say enough of that? Can we be excited about Jesus every time he shows up? Can it just knock us to the floor every time we see him? Can we just let that happen? Can we stop being bored with the cross of Christ? Can we stop going, okay, he's preaching the gospel. I've already received that. This was a waste of time today. Can we end that? Can we come unglued when the gospel of Jesus is presented? Can we just go crazy when we talk about Jesus being resurrected and coming back to life? Can we just go crazy at the opportunity with the understanding that he is coming back for us, church, Redemption Church? Can we just stop it with the ho-hum, I know everything there is to know about Jesus stuff? John was more acquainted with Jesus than all of us put together. When he saw him, he fell to the ground as dead. Oh, I wish I could get that in the heartbeat of our church, that we are not just going to be, oh, well, they're talking about Jesus. That's really nice. No, he floors us every time. He is the hope of all creation. Every eye is going to see him, and it's going to be glorious. This is our Jesus. This is our healer. This is our everything. Amen. Everything hinges on seeing Jesus. Everything. I've got a few scriptures I'm going to go over, and I'm going to tie them all together. These are amazing scriptures about seeing Jesus, and they're all prophetic, and they're all promises. Here they go. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is amazing scripture. Listen, John's saying, this is St. John. He's saying, listen, guys, I don't know what we're going to be like. I don't know what we're going to know. I don't know everything about the future for us. But I know this, when we see him, we're going to be changed. When we see him, we're going to become like him. Because what? We see him. That's the power of seeing him. Really quick, do you want to make a change in your life? Are you really depressed? Are you really angry with yourself? Do you keep messing up? Do you keep getting angry and you want to change? Is there something about your life that you want to change? Here's what we do. We look at ourselves. Can I give you a different thought? Stop looking at yourself. Look at Jesus, because when you look at him, you change.
Yes. Amen.
Get out of the self-help book for a second. Start looking at Jesus. Have trouble with your selfishness? Look at Jesus. He's going to change that. Have trouble with your self-image? Look at Jesus, because no one else loves you like Jesus. Have trouble with fear? Look at Jesus. Have trouble loving? Look at Jesus. Have trouble with the future and what you should do in life? Look at Jesus. That is how you change something. Everything hinges on seeing Jesus. Your life hinges on seeing Jesus. So look at Jesus.
Amen.
Zechariah 12:10. This is the Old Testament. This is prophecy. This is before Jesus is even born. Here it says, they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. Before Jesus Christ is ever taken to a cross and they drive a nail through his hand, Zechariah is telling us from the words of Jesus, Jesus talking, they're going to look on me, the one they have pierced. And John takes Zechariah 12:10, and the Lord gives him new insight. And we look at Revelations 1:7 and we see it. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. John just told us that the coming of the Lord is when this happens. What a fresh revelation. And there was another scripture thrown in with this. Look how it says he is coming on the clouds. That's also from Daniel 7:13. Daniel 7:13 says this, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. Wait a second. When you see Jesus coming, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you even believe in God. You could be an atheist. You could be a backslider. You could be someone that comes to church one time a year or every week of the year. It doesn't matter. When you see him, according to Daniel, everyone will worship him. When they see him, every person, every language, no one's going to be excluded. They're all going to worship Jesus when they see him. This is tied to Philippians 2:10. Look at this promise. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When you see Jesus, knees are going to bow. How many knees? Every knee. When you see Jesus, every tongue's going to confess. Every one of them. Do you see the wonderful promise that even right now before that day, our knees are bowing to the Lord? Even now before that day when every tongue will confess, we've been confessing him in this place. We've worshiped together and you were confessing your love for him. You were confessing your heart for him. We're going to open up the altar in a little bit. You're going to have an opportunity to confess and kneel before the Lord before that day when he comes and every knee and tongue has to do it. It's when you see Jesus, not when you see religion, not when you see a church building, not when you see a fancy preacher on TV, not when you hear what others say about him or not someone else's picture of him, but when you see Jesus Christ for yourself, things change and it's glorious. The church in America is on a downward trend. It's a fact. It's figures. It's on a downward trend. Churches are closing. Ministers are quitting. And I want to tell you what I think the problem is. Here's the problem. People see us and not Jesus. I think it's a real simple problem. I think we can over, you know, talk all the things. Well, you know, just we aren't reaching today's culture. We're not doing this and that. We're not connecting with technology. I've heard it all. I think the real problem is people are seeing us and not Jesus. When people see me, it does nothing for them. It doesn't heal when you see me. It doesn't deliver you from fear when you see me. But when you see Jesus, it delivers you from all fear. When you see Jesus, it heals you. When you see Jesus, it sets you free. I think what the world needs is not just another church building. What this world needs is to see Jesus. Here's the deal. I stand by this. We can talk it over coffee if you want. People don't like Christians. People don't like Christians. But they would love Jesus if they ever met him. They would love Jesus if they ever met him. Redemption Church, can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer this out loud, but I want you to answer it in your heart. Here's the question. What happened when you first saw Jesus? What happened when you first encountered Jesus? What happened when you had that first moment when you knew that you knew that you knew he is real and that he loves you? What happened in that moment? Can you still go back to that moment? Do you still remember that moment? Do you remember how you felt in that moment? Do you remember that when you walked away from that moment, you were a different person? Do you remember that when you walked away from that moment, it's like you were a person on a mission? Someone else needs to see him like you just saw him. Do you remember that, Redemption Church? Because far too many in the church world have forgotten that. I'm going to ask Sarah to come. John saw Jesus and he fell as dead. But he didn't stay dead. Aren't you glad when you see Jesus, you don't stay dead? Yeah. Revelation 1:17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid." Have you ever had Jesus tell you that? I have. It wasn't an audible voice, but I felt that hand rest on me. And in the midst of fear, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of suicidal thoughts, I felt the hand of love and I heard a voice that said, don't be afraid. And all that fear went away. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am the living one. I was dead and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades, the keys of death and hell. Here's what you need to know. Jesus is available to be seen. Jesus says awful things about the church of Laodicea. We read that today in Revelation 3. Real quick, what does he tell Laodicea? Someone tell me. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what he says this to the church of Laodicea. Hey, Laodicea, I love you. I'm going to throw you up. I'm going to vomit you out. What? That's pretty intense, right? Thank you for the visual, Jesus. Wow. This is the strongest rebuke of all the churches. I mean, there were some strong rebukes, but this one, man, it's so graphic. And what a strong rebuke. I will spew you out of my mouth. But I want you to get this. I want you to see this. Even after that strong rebuke, he offers to be seen by Laodicea. Look at it. Revelation 3:20. This is right after he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Even after that strong rebuke, there are times where Jesus rebukes us. There are times when Jesus corrects us. But every time he's ever corrected me, every time he's told me how wrong I am, every time he has offered to be seen, he's been offering to reveal himself. And that's what he does to Laodicea. I don't know what you are going through in life right now. I don't know if you are really scared about the future. Many people are. I don't know if you are worried about your past and guilt-ridden. Many people are. But I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ, he's here right now. He is the living one. He ever lives. And he's in this place and he's knocking at the door, freely available to be seen by you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I hope everyone believes that. Everyone in this house, I hope you believe that. Everyone that's watching over the internet, I hope you believe that. He's available wherever you are. He's available. The question is this. Do you want a revelation of Jesus today? Are you going to ho-hum this moment? Are you going to receive this revelation?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.